source software and access to computer technology. I spoke with Brian Jameson, the CEO of a company called Open Sorcery. Open Sorcery customizes open source software packages for small businesses and nonprofits. They provide technical assistance for their clients as well. I asked Brian Jameson to lay out the basics for us.
So why don't you tell us, what is open source software?
Maybe I can start by telling you what open source software isn't, because most people use software that is not open source. So when you go to the store and you buy software, you're not actually buying the software, you're buying a license to the software. So if you want to change the software or do anything with it, typically the license tells you you can't do that. Well, open source software is about doing things with software and about making it better and giving people the power to make it better. So when you get the actual software that's open source, you can make changes to it yourself, or you can have other people make changes to it. You have the rights to change the software. And that's totally revolutionized the way that software has been done. Basically, before, you had big operating systems like Microsoft, where they were, you know, charging, you know, X amount of dollars for you to have their operating system or their word processing program or whatever. And if you wanted them to make a change to it, you had to basically pray that they would fix it or anything. With open source software, if you have an issue with it, like say there's a bug or there's some sort of security hole or anything like that, or you want to change, because you have the source code to it, you're able to make the changes yourself.
And what is source code?
So source code is kind of like the blueprint to a house. You wouldn't build a house without a blueprint, and you can't build a piece of software without the source code. So if you have the source code, you can actually go in and make any kind of change you want to the software. You can add functionality to it, you can fix bugs, you can make one pixel move to the left, whatever you need to do. If you don't have the source code, you're out of luck. You can't do any of that.
What are some open source programs that people might be familiar with?
Well, if anyone's ever used the internet, they've used open source software. Right, so Google is based on open source software. Most of the web servers that run web pages, the vast majority of them, run open source software. Apache is the name of the web server that runs it. Firefox is something that a lot of people probably know and use. It's the most sophisticated and secure web browser out there that I highly recommend everyone use. OpenOffice, which is a free alternative to Microsoft Office and includes Word compatible, PowerPoint compatible, Excel compatible, but it's free.
And how can people access those programs?
Typically, you can just go out and download open source software. So it depends on what you're looking for. But typically, there's a certain amount of technical expertise that's required to install any kind of software. So you want to work with someone who's technically competent to put it together for you.
And that's what you do at Open Sorcery, right?
Yes, that's what we do. We take the, maybe there's 100,000 open source packages out there, and we can tailor them to people's needs. And it ends up being vastly cheaper than going out and buying some proprietary piece of software. And typically works much better. We set up people's systems so that they can collaborate, whether that's setting up like a wiki or content management system for their web page.
What's a wiki?
A wiki is something that was invented in Portland. And it's a web page that can be edited by anybody just by clicking on the page. It doesn't require any technical expertise at all. And so suddenly you have web pages that anyone can edit and collaborate with. So Wikipedia is probably the best example of this, which now it's an open system. And it's now got more content than Encyclopedia Britannica, right? So, and is widely regarded as more authoritative than Encyclopedia Britannica. So wikis offer that kind of functionality. And they're open source. Most of them are open source, so you don't have to pay for the software, and you get really phenomenal functionality with them. So we do that. And we also do custom software development.
So why is open source software better in some ways for nonprofits and small businesses, which you work with a lot, than proprietary software?
It's better for so many reasons. One reason is open source software is typically a lot more secure than proprietary software. And the reason why it's more secure is more people have access to it. And the more people that have access to it, the more people that are looking at it and improving it. So you tend to have, by and large, vastly less security issues with open source software, which is just huge for an organization. I mean, you don't want big security holes because there's hackers running around running scripts all day long looking for security exploits on the internet. It's a really dangerous place out there. So open source software is a good protection for that. It's also a huge cost saver because you don't have to pay a license fee up front. Typically, the open source software is either very, very cheap or free for the software. So you're only paying for the installation of the software and the customization of it and the maintenance of it. And typically, also, the maintenance of it is lots cheaper. And that's one of the reasons why most of the internet is run off of open source software. Not just because it's cheaper up front, but because it's cheaper all the way across the board for all the maintenance. And it's also because you can learn how to do it yourself, right? You can learn how to administer your own machines. You can learn how to take care of your own software. It's really phenomenal.
What kind of rates do you charge for the services you provide to small businesses and nonprofits?
We have a sliding scale, so we have a special rate for nonprofits. And we typically only work with organizations that we consider sustainably minded or at least explicitly not evil, if that makes sense.
And how much technical expertise do people need to have in order to manipulate their own software?
It depends on what you want to do. If you just want to use the software from a user's point of view, like if you want just want to use your email or if you want to use your web browser or anything like that, it's very low. But then as you get into more sophisticated things, if you want to, say, administer your own email server or if you want to modify the actual source code, the actual programs, it gets to be fairly sophisticated. It's not impossible. I think there's a huge amount of avenues for helping people out. And that's one of the things that I think is really awesome about open source is there's a huge, huge community of people. I mean, just hundreds of thousands of people out there. So when you have a question, you go to an online forum and you get answers back, sometimes within an hour or two. Typically within a day, you get an answer to your question that points you on your way. So it facilitates that kind of learning. So you can start out with almost no knowledge and then get yourself up to a pretty high level. And a lot of people have done that with open source. Getting back to some of the reasons why people ought to use open source software, like if you're an organization, right, and you have software, you're kind of held hostage by the company that has your software, right, that makes the software. And you're held hostage because if they decide to upgrade the software that you're using, and you want some features in your software, or you want a bug fix or a security fix or something like that, you're basically forced to pay the money for the new version. And if you don't do that, then eventually your support options will go away. So you'll have no support. They orphan the product. So then basically you have no option whatsoever. You're sitting with a piece of software that's not supported. It might have serious security issues. There's no way to update it or modify it. And if the company goes out of business or decides to discontinue the product, there's nothing you can do except go with a completely different product or pay money to upgrade it. And I think that's an unacceptable alternative. I think an organization that is deploying any kind of software should control the software, right? It should be theirs. So if they want to improve it, they can decide, we're going to pay to improve this. You can do that with open source. You can't do that with closed software, proprietary software. You can always, if you have the source code, you can always find somebody who will provide you service, which is a huge, huge thing. It totally puts the power in the organization's hands.
I have a Mac, and every maybe 3 weeks or so when I turn it on, it says, would you like to download these updates to your software?
Yeah.
So, I mean, proprietary software is updatable. Some point, what is the difference between that and maybe what open source would offer?
Yeah, that's a good question. So first of all, are you using OS X?
Yes.
So that's based on open source software, right? That's one of the reasons
why. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right. And that was Apple being smart and saying, there's some really fabulous software out there. We're gonna leverage this. And they did a lot to it. But basically, that's why it's so powerful. So the idea of downloading updates originated with open source. Most innovation, the vast majority of innovation in software is coming out in open source, and it gets picked up later by proprietary software. So, yeah, you can download software updates, but those are updates to your existing, already purchased software. So you already bought the operating system OS X for your Mac, and you already bought whatever programs you got. I'm talking about on my Linux-based open source system. If I don't already have a video editing package, I can go out and just download it for free, and it just installs on my system. If I want an MP3 player, I mean, whatever I want to do, there's typically software out there that's pretty darn good.
Tell me about Linux.
Wow, where to start? Linux is really amazing. I've been using Linux for about 11 years, and it started out with this guy just saying, here's this thing that I've done, what do you think? And posting it on the internet. People liked it and they started collaborating and improving it. And it's grown to this enormous thing. I mean, Google is powered by Linux. I mean, huge, huge organizations are powered by Linux. And many small ones are powered by it too. Like everything in open sourcery is powered by Linux. So what is it? It's this enormous, collaboratively produced collection of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pieces of software that work together. And most of them are free or nearly free. I mean, you can download Linux, you know, for free, put it in your computer, and boom, it just works.
And it's an operating system, right?
It's an operating system like Windows or OS X. In my opinion, it's vastly superior to Windows. It's more secure. Hugely more secure. It's designed to be a network operating system from the ground up, right? So what that means is it's safer to use, and it supports things that you want, like being able to download programs off the internet, things of that nature.
What is the future of open source software? I mean, is it going to eventually phase out Windows, Microsoft, things like that?
I believe that open source software is the only way to develop software. And I'm a geek. I mean, I am a diehard geek. I've always been a geek. I mean, when I was 11 years old, I was spending my time in Radio Shack playing around on computers. And I use technology that works. And I believe in open source, and I believe in the what it means, but it also has to work. And if it didn't work for me, I wouldn't use it. And it's just a better way to develop software. So instead of just closing it off and being in this little small environment, you're actually contributing to humanity, because you know when you release products under open source, people are going to contribute to them and they'll get better over time. So it's very satisfying, but it also works better. So if you look at two things that I think people can relate to really well, software browsers, right? Web browsers. You have Internet Explorer, typically, that people use, and Firefox as a comparison. Internet Explorer, it's got all sorts of problems. It's got huge security issues. I mean, just enormous. And there's still, right now, security issues in it, even in IE7, which was just released. You could drive trucks through it. I mean, it's really dangerous. But it also doesn't have a lot of really interesting functionality to it. You compare that to Firefox, which is pretty stable. I mean, it isn't completely without faults. And there are occasionally security issues that get fixed just with any software. But by and large, it's really bulletproof. But it also has really neat functionality in it, right? Firefox, they're the guys who did tabbed browsing years ago, tabbed browsing in Firefox. But they also have this really neat plug-in technology where you can actually modify web pages that you typically go to and say, I don't want to see that part of the web page ever. And it just gets rid of it forever. So when you come back later, it's not there. And just huge amounts of things. Like there's a little plugin that somebody wrote for Firefox that allows you to see just the negative comments on eBay reputations, which is a small thing, right? But someone had a scratch and they wanted to itch it. So they built this thing, and now thousands of people can leverage it. And all you have to do is plug it into your Firefox browser and you have that functionality. Can't do that in IE. And it's not designed to take advantage of that because it's not open source. They just don't have that mentality. And it's pretty well acknowledged that open source is the way to develop software these days. The people who aren't acknowledging it are the ones who have a financial stake in making the money the way that they've done.
But is this collaborative model, does it have the potential, do you think, to surpass the corporate model?
That's a big, deep question, but I do think so. Yeah. It's kind of like the turtle and the hare. I mean, the corporate model is release fast, make lots of money, don't think past the next quarter, right? And that works in some cases, and that's got us some interesting things. The collaborative model is more longer term, and it's taken a long time for Firefox to get to, it took Firefox a long time to get to where it was good enough. But then very quickly, it got better and continued to get better. Whereas IE, Internet Explorer, just hasn't caught up. And it never will catch up ever again now. Now that Firefox has surpassed it, they won't be able to catch up. It's not possible because of just the sheer number of hours. I mean, there's thousands of people working on Firefox. I don't care how rich Microsoft is, they're not going to be able to keep up with that. And that's sort of the history of that. So I definitely think collaborative development is going to surpass this proprietary corporate development. Now, corporations still contribute to open source, and that's great. We wouldn't have open source if corporations were contributing to it. We all have to work together.
Is there any kind of movement in the corporate world to defame open source software? I mean, you say Mac is using it, but I mean, how does Microsoft feel about it? Do they feel threatened?
Oh yeah, they've been threatened for a long time. The big joke is there's sort of three stages. One, they laugh at you. Two, they fight you. And three, they join you. So we're kind of moving from phase two to phase three now, where early on they were, you know, there's no way that this company is going to be, you know, this idea is going to be able to take over our company. But things, particularly with Microsoft, they've seen that Linux and open source is really eating them up and it's taking a big bite out of a lot of their different divisions. So they're definitely threatened by it. They have their own open source initiatives that I think eventually they will be forced to become an open source company and a much smaller, much different company. I don't think they're ever going to go away. But I think everyone is going to be forced into this model. As more and more businesses realize they have the power to own the software and literally own it in the sense that they can make their own changes, why would you do anything else?
But that's pretty much all the specific questions I had. Is there anything else that you want to say about open sourcery or open source itself?
There's so much to be said about open source, and there's just no way you could cover all the details. But there's a reason why people are using it. And I think the reason why open source hasn't been as successful or as well understood by people who aren't in the technical community is because there's no one well-funded group out there promoting it. You have to discover it on your own. And because of that, organized corporations who have big marketing budgets can basically say whatever they want, and you know they get their agendas across really well. So it's really a matter of grassroots education that's really made it so popular and is carrying it forward.
Thanks for talking with me.
Sure, thank you.
Here's card and motherboard sorting, where people learn the names of individual bits inside the computer. Macintosh stuff, we don't touch that. We send it down to Eugene. Advanced testing, we test hard drives and RAM and processors and motherboards. Monitor testing. Monitors have to be tested for an hour. They burn in and have to display good colors. Recycling is one of the funner areas. You get to destroy computers. There's everybody ripping them apart there. Room behind that wall there, that's the black hole, which is where laptops are dealt with, just everything dealing with laptop. Big boxes full of stuff to be recycled, sold for their copper or gold or steel content. Completed systems that we're going to hand out to nonprofit organizations and volunteers in various forms or another. My office, I'll show you. It would have been my office, except it got full of the classic gaming library, which is all the old video games, as well as just stuff that people would want to steal, RAM and hard drives and stuff. This is system evaluation. This is where people open up computers and figure out if they're worth keeping. And they also try and turn them on, and they learn some of their first basic troubleshooting skills here. This room is build. This is where we assemble computers, install operating systems on them, and double check them to make sure that they work. This is our server room. All recycled hardware that are running our websites and our email servers and whatnot. This is a classroom on one side, and there's a stage there. We occasionally do events, I guess, parties with bands and stuff. This is a meeting room here. We have lots of meetings. It's consensus run, so that means we have to have lots and lots of meetings. This is the white hole as opposed to the black hole, and here we deal with server class hardware, stuff that was $6,000 or $10,000 when it was new. Oh, and the store. We sell stuff in here, and people buy it, and they like it.
Can I ask you what you're working on?
Huh?
Can I ask you what you're working on?
I'm not busy if you need help.
I don't need any help. I'm actually just asking people about Freaky for KBOO.
Oh, okay. Well, right now I'm teaching the build class today. If anybody has any problems building their computers, I'm here to help them out if there's any problems at all. I've built several computers myself. And so I decided that I wanted to help help other people build their computers.
What's your name?
Michael.
And how old are you?
13.
And how is it teaching a class full of grown-ups?
Surprisingly enough, nobody's really ever minded very much that their questions are being answered by kids. Nobody's ever really minded. I don't mind.
What do you like about Free Geek?
It's very community-oriented. Like, everybody helps each other out. Everybody cares about everybody else. Everybody's here to help. And it's just a very nice atmosphere.
I'm installing an IDE cable into the hard drive as part of the building process.
Did you know anything about building computers before you came here?
No. Not a thing. Nothing. I hadn't even been on an electric typewriter. So this is all brand new.
So what made you decide to come down here?
Because I heard that I could get a computer if I volunteered for 24 hours. And after I got the computer, I realized that I didn't know what to do with it. So I got into the build program. And it gives you a great deal of hardware experience, hands-on experience, plus the Linux exposure also. So it's been good. I've been 10 months, and now I'm an assistant instructor.
What's your name?
Tony. Go ahead and boot it up.
My name's Barrett. I'm just looking on the internet right now. I volunteer my time here because I'm homeless and on the street, and I have nothing better to do, and I enjoy it.
I'm here as an activist who is trying, just literally struggling for freedom of speech as we speak. And it's a great place. Free Geek is a great place.
My name's Sophia, and I'm a paid intern here. So it's a job experience position to give me something stronger to put on my resume. And I work at the front desk. And what I really like about Free Geek is that it gives people a place to go to learn about technology. You know, it's open to anyone, regardless of your past experience, whether you've never touched a computer before or if you have a bachelor's in computer science. And it's a really good way just to, you know, be a part of that. And the environmental aspect is great. My favorite thing is probably the community, though. I love the people here.
Just another day in paradise.
There's a lot of just peer-to-peer education, a lot of people giving back immediately and just trying to help each other raise themselves up to the level of being competent with computer equipment and a lot of teaching themselves how to do it themselves.